The mass exodus. I loved having young kids, but am grateful that they grow up to be amazing young women and men of God. Just felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about a couple of people during the worship there, so I just wanted to make sure that I respond to those. You've obviously always got a test what it is that someone tells you they've heard from God about, because at the end of the day, God speaks to us all individually. None of us have some special line to God that's only available to us. When the Spirit lives within us, He can speak to us and He confirms, or, sometimes when people give us what they think God's telling us, maybe they're not hearing as well as they should, or maybe it's not for that particular time, or so, do these what you will, with these what you will, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, so here we go. Ethan, I'm not sure what your job situation, I haven't asked you at the moment, but I feel like there's a job opportunity that's coming up really soon, so just keep your eyes open for it, pray into it, because I feel like there's an opportunity for you that's coming up. I know Johnny's headed out, but Joel, maybe you can pass this on to Johnny, but I really felt like there is something important about what he writes down, and that if he would just, writing may not be his thing, but I feel like as he is writing, the Holy Spirit is going to start to breathe prophetically through his own journaling, through his own private writing, and he's going to begin to kind of prophesy over his future as he writes down what he feels like God's placing in his heart, and that those things are going to become really vital for really living, not just words on a page, but actually they're going to speak over his future. Even now I know I've still got prophecies that I received as a kid, and they I often remember those, even if I don't actually look at them, but because they were written down, and there was something powerful about that word of God that became more than just words that disappeared into the day, but actually became on paper. And he's actually, it's not that someone else is necessarily going to give him those things. Actually, the Holy Spirit's going to breathe those through him. So pass that on. Sue, I felt like there's been a couple of disappointments in this first part of the year for you that have just tainted the year a little. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to reset the year for you, the rest of the year, that the rest of the year is not going to be coloured negatively. And so I just, right now, I just pray that any heaviness, any burden, anything that you've carried through this part of the year would be released from you right now in the name of Jesus, and there'd just be the head would be lifted that little bit higher, and there'd be that little bit more of a sense of joy and hope and expectation of what God's going to do in the second half of this year. Rod, I know you've got your son there, and one of your kids has been on your heart, you need to keep taking them to the Lord in prayer. He knows what he's doing with your kids better than we ever do. And I just feel like if you'll just keep directing that stuff towards God, he'll give you the wisdom, the insight, the words, the things that you need to for that. Thank you, Jesus. Shane, I imagine you're a little bit sore from... Did you do the run yesterday? Or you got halfway. I actually want to pray for you, though. Is there particular pain? Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, let me pray for your health anyway. And I'll just pray this generally. But Lord, we know that you are the Lord who heals us, Jehovah Rapha. Lord, we know that you have already paid the price for healing and for wholeness. And so across this place, I pray for healing. I pray for healing for Shane and for all those who might be in pain or might have issues that only you can deal with. In the name of Jesus, I speak health. I speak wholeness. I command the pain to go, restoration to come for bodies in this place, for minds, for emotions, in every way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Megan, there's that little passage in that talks about when Elizabeth sees Mary and the baby leaps inside, little John leaps inside her womb. I don't imagine that was particularly comfortable, but you know, little unborn babies are still sensitive to the Spirit, and you are not in your own prayer and in your own reading of the Word and in your own sort of spiritual connection with God. Know that it's not just you. It's not just you and God in that moment. That you are actually fostering this beautiful, this amazing connection between your little one and Jesus well before it's ever breathed its first breath, and that's it's significant. It's not insignificant, and that you might only become aware of what this beautiful wealth of connection that they've already made with Jesus before they can utter the words or before they can enact the things that a worshiper might do. So keep doing that. Know that you're doing it for two. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you speak to all of us and that you are only waiting for us to listen. And even though sometimes it's a little hard to hear your voice, we stay open to be ready for when you want to tell us things. We want to live in the Spirit. We want to live listening. So thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Have your way in and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you again this morning. I feel like I only preached here last week. It was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? Thanks, Ollie. And I promise I won't give you another quiz. In fact, we have two colours up on the screen. I don't know if you realised our red is gone. So the graphics today, just imagine that you're also seeing red. Here's the one thought, the one revelation that I wanted to remind you of or share with you. I'm pretty sure if you've been in church for any length of time, you've already heard this. But it's a scripture from 1 John 4:4, and it says, "Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world." If you're going to take away anything this morning, just take away that. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Let's take a look at this cool little picture of a couple of butterflies and a caterpillar wannabe. A caterpillar and a hang glider. I have this feeling that sometimes we might view our Christianity a little bit more like a caterpillar and a hang glider than like a transformed caterpillar into a butterfly. That somehow the Christianity thing is it with, you know, we've added gathering together on a Sunday, and we're trying to be like Jesus, and we're, you know, we're put in prayer, and we're trying to look like a butterfly, and perhaps feeling a little bit more like we're a caterpillar in a hang glider. And this might be so many things that make us feel that way internally, our own monologues, perhaps externally, the times where we don't feel like the butterfly, we don't feel like the transformed caterpillar. But we know that's not the case. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. There's so much evidence against that in my day-to-day. That there's things that don't seem to have passed away, and there's things that don't seem to have become new yet. But the truth is, I am a new creation. I am not the person I was before Christ, before I accepted Christ, before I accepted his forgiveness, his salvation, before I accepted him. I am fundamentally different. I am a new creation, and you are a new creation. I don't know whether you feel that way, but that's the truth. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Just let that settle in for a moment. A new creation. See, it's not Christ around us, Christ associated with us, that is the hope of glory, as we read in 1:27. The hope of glory is not me with my Christian t-shirt or me doing Christian type things. It's Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. Now, a whole lot of things overflow from that, but I wonder whether sometimes we get in our head that maybe our Christianity is a little bit more like trying to strap on the harness and stick the hang glider bits on and run as fast as we can to try and get some lift off and look as much like a butterfly as we can. When in fact, you're the butterfly. You're the butterfly. You're a new creation in Christ. And that's the hope of glory. It's not something that we are trying to be. It's something we've been remade in Christ Jesus. It's not just a better version of you. Christianity is not a better version of you. Did you realize that? Chris and I watched Survivor finale last night. Much more interesting than politics. I won't... Can see some people haven't seen the finale, so I won't tell you who won the $1 million. But what I will say is there was a particular narrative of one of the people in that saying, you know, this was about me proving that through all the hardship, there was really something in me and it was in me all along, and I could do this and I could accomplish things that I didn't think that I could accomplish. And while that's all well and good, if that's the same message we've got for Christianity, what the heck? Like, what are we offering people? It's not a better version of you. It's not just what was inside of you. The point was, it wasn't inside of us. There was something that Jesus does that is actually beyond what was ever capable of what was inside of us. Now, we're capable. Humans are capable of amazing things because we are made in the image of God. And hey, he's a good God. He makes good things, even marred by sin, even marred by our rebellion and our mistakes. But at the end of the day, Christianity is a transformation, not an addition, not a, oh, wow, look, the caterpillar can fly. No, no, it's the butterfly. New creation in Christ Jesus. Christ in us. It's perhaps not hard for us to look like Christ is in us on a Sunday. I mean, you all look angelic. I've got a picture of a Jesus ski mask. It's pretty creepy. Chris hates masks. They're disturbing for her on every level. I'm not sure I'd want to wear that either. But But this is not us. We're not wearing the Jesus ski mask on a Sunday that we then kind of just rip off and then do our normal life. Then I go to work and, you know, then I do family and then I study. No, it's not a mask, because it's Christ in us, not on us, not over us, not kind of hiding the real stuff. It's Christ in us. Christ in us right here, but not just here. Christ in your home, in you, in your relationships. Christ in you, in your workplace. Christ in you, in the cafe. You know, Chris has been developing this long relationship with our favorite cafe owner. And I love the fact there was just a short little moment where we had to get a coffee early in the morning. But Chris was just so, she is so aware of Christ in the midst of this relationship that there was one moment in just a few minutes to make to offer a further insight into where this cafe owner was up to. And she took that opportunity just in a matter of moments while, you know, about to race the coffee out so we could catch a train. Christ in us, in our schools, in our universities, Christ in us. What does Christ in us look like in all of those places, in all of our relationships, in our parenting, in our work? I mean, it might look like a lot of things, but I have a feeling that it might look a little bit like this. Did anyone see Madagascar? Has anyone not seen Madagascar? It's it's a fun kids' movie, right? And I don't know if you remember this scene or not, but the lion, what was his name? Alex the lion, right? So there's a bunch of animals in the New York Zoo who want to escape, because, hey, who wants to live in New York? And so they want to get into the wild, and eventually they end up in Madagascar. Madahuha. And the thing is, Alex is trying not to, like, they're trying to get home now, and so he's trying not to be the predator, the carnivore that he is, because that would freak out the locals, and they're, you know, it's a whole story. But the thing is, because that's who Alex is, he is a carnivore, he is a predator, there's a point at which he can't stop who he is shaping everything he sees. And even his dear friends look like juicy steaks. Now, I'm not suggesting that we see people as steaks or pieces of meat, but I am thinking that Christ in us changes the way that we look at everyone. Not just at some people, it changes the way we look at everyone. Because Christ sees people in a way that we wouldn't if we were untransformed. If we were a caterpillar with hang glider, we probably wouldn't be able to see these things. But actually, when Christ is in us, there are things that we see. There are ways that we see people, which changes everything. And so coming to this thought of greater is he, you know, our theme's been greater. And I tell you what, if there's a problem with the last message that I preached, it would be this. There was that whole quiz on, you know, us becoming, the key to greater might be lesser. Less of me. But the thing is, if all those things that I was talking through, you know, the love of the church and prayer and love of the word and all those things, if that becomes a to-do list to add bigger wings to our hang glider, we've missed the point. Because it was never about adding something to our world. That's not what Christianity ever was. It was a fundamental transformation from the inside out. It was Christ in us. The greater is not out there. The greater is in here. Greater is He that is in us. Greater is He that is in you. I love the thing greater. It's been great. True. But the temptation, I think, with greater is to perhaps feel that it's out there. That the greater is something that we're waiting for or praying for or believing for, but it's not in here. But 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. The greater's in you. The greater's not out there. The greater isn't just something in the future. It's not something you're waiting for. It's in you. Greater is He who is in you. Now, of course, there is a little bit more to that verse. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so there is a He that is in the world. And Paul encourages us not to be ignorant of the enemy who does want to steal, kill, and destroy, who wants to rob us, who wants to limit us, who wants to make us think that we're still caterpillars with sort of half-broken hang gliders that sometimes work, maybe work best in the few hours after church. But otherwise, they're in a state of constant repair. We have an enemy and we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. And I know even for Chris and I, there's been times where you know, perhaps particular opportunities have come up, or, you know, I'm just about to minister somewhere and there's been an attack on our family, an attack maybe on health, or Michaela is a young girl, was particularly kind of sensitive to those things, and often we would just have to take authority you know, over her health and over her sleep. But we could get way too focused on the He who is in the world, because we've forgotten the first part. Greater is He who is in us. So yes, there's a He that's in the world. Yes, we shouldn't be ignorant of what the enemy's trying to do in our world. But greater is He who is in us. I watch a few movies, as you can tell. And, you know, I mean, who can't pass up a good movie? Maybe you can, but there was a movie based on a book by, now I've not read the book, certainly saw the movie, Robert Ludlum? Ludlum? The Bourne Identity. Now, I'm not suggesting you go see the movie. The language is a little rough, a little violent. But it's typical, actually, of a lot of movies in this kind of vein where we meet a character and they've either forgotten or they don't know who they are. And the whole movie is about them trying to discover who they are and the significance of that. And we buy into these movies because there's something in us that wants this person to understand their significance in the world, that we know that if they can just remember who they are, it's going to make a difference. And of course, in the Bourne Identity, we've got Jason Bourne. What's his name, the actor? Matt Damon. Shot, fallen over the side of the boat and picked up by a fisherman. And then as the guy thinks he's pretty much dead, he's pulling out the, you know, the bullet wounds from his back, and then finds the secret laser pointer with the bank details. Ooh, such intrigue. and then comes back to the table, and Matt Damon, no, Jason Bourne, is gone. And then he's attacked, and, you know, there's a struggle, and he says, "Who are you?" And the guy asks for Jason Bourne's name, and he doesn't know it. He doesn't know who he is. But, of course, the rest of the movie unfolds that while he's being chased by bad guys and realizing that he's actually the bomb at keeping himself alive and all kinds of espionage knowledge, eventually, of course, he realizes, discovers who he is, and the movie ends. Oh, I forget how it ends. Guess I should watch it again. Well, that's right, the Bourne, but yeah, the certainly know how to make money. You know, you are not who you thought you were. You're not the revamped you. No, you're actually, once you receive Christ, you and I, we are something fundamentally different. Now, your eye color didn't change, your hair color probably didn't change. You didn't lose any weight when you received Jesus, maybe. But something fundamentally changed. And that was that the living God, the creator of the universe, was invited into a space that only he could fill that would change everything else from the inside out. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You are not a good person trying to be better. You are not a sinner who was just forgiven. You are a new creation. And I don't know what kind of greater you're looking for, but perhaps for a moment we should stop looking out there and realize that the greater is in here.
Why don't we close our eyes for a moment?